heading to a land unknown. Many times when we have gone to funerals, we've heard Psalm 23 read, and so eloquently in our ears, it strengthens us. We've heard it read on the bedside. We've heard it read at funerals. We've even committed bodies to the ground, and you'll hear people reading Psalm 23. But what I've realized, my brothers and sisters, is that Psalm 23, verse number 1, is more than a word for those who may be afflicted. It is more to a family who may be in transition as they lay a loved one to rest. But Psalm 23 is actually a psalm of life. It is one that challenges us and that reminds all of us that no matter what's going on in our life, if we remain as sheep, that we have a good shepherd who is willing to take care of us. This title today, I want to share with you briefly from the subject, Divine Assurance. This text tells us that there is assurance from the divine himself. David tells us through the pain and the suffering of his own ministerial challenges, being ostracized, criticized, being thrown to the side, being rejected, being misunderstood. David puts pen to parchment to remind himself and those who are listening and will read in years to come that the Lord is good. And he is a good shepherd. And like a good shepherd, if we remain in the sheep place, then all of our needs will be met. This psalm, this first verse, puts us in a very powerful position because it extracts from us the ability to always have to fight for ourselves. Sometimes you will find people who you can never help because they're too busy fighting all the time. This is a psalm where you have permission to rest. It is a psalm where you have permission to lift up your hands. It's a psalm where you have permission to talk to the great creator and ask him to orchestrate and give purpose to your life. Is really a place where you can be confident and calm at the same time. This is what David is trying to remind us of on this morning, that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in order for us to experience this divine assurance, all of us in here, on the sound of my voice, must first understand the providentialness of this text and understanding the providential person in the Lord. See, many times we call on the Lord, but we call on him sometimes out of vanity. It is not out of sincerity. Sometimes we call upon the Lord only when we want the Lord to do what we want him to do. And we call upon the Lord only when we want him to fix things or give us creature comforts to make our lives better and to make us feel better, to give us promotions and give us spouses. But every now and then you need to call on the Lord simply because he is the Lord. And so the text today brings us and puts us in a place of calmness when I understand this providential person. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And I can remember being at a convention many years ago, probably I was about 12 or 13, and they called a brother, a pastor, out of the audience to come and pray. And they put him behind the podium, and he bowed his head, and he was in complete silence. People begin to look up, and they're like, is he okay? Is something going on? And then he said, amen, and he went, took a seat. People asked him after the service was over, man, what was wrong with you? What was going on? They called you to pray. He said, I did. And they said, but nobody heard you. He said, I wasn't talking to y'all. I was talking to the Lord. And the Lord don't always hear words. But he interpreted what's on your heart. So your mouth can say anything, but God wants to know what's at the bottom of your heart. Understanding now this providential relationship with this person, we can be in communication with him at all times. And when we're in communication with him, even when things seemingly are going bad in our lives, because he is a good shepherd and because I am a sheep, he directs me through the trials and tribulations of our life. I'm so happy for David. I love David so much. I thank God that I can read about a man who was after God's own heart. And then I can read about a man who had flaws in his life. But then God's report about David was he was the apple of God's eye and a man after God's own heart. Which lets me know that I don't always have to be perfect if I stay in the sheep's place. I don't always have to be what you may want me to be if I stay in a sheep's place. And even if I make a mistake and my heart is right, the shepherd knows. Look at somebody and tell them the shepherd knows. Oh, God. All of us in here will make decisions that are not popular. It will disappoint people and upset your parents. And will make people look at you a little bit differently. But guess what? All of us in here have made at least one bad choice. But because we serve a God who is able to wipe away and to forgive, who is able to pick us up and turn us around, who is able to put our feet on solid ground, who is able to take away our past and throw it away, strengthen us for our present, construct a new highway into our future. He is waiting for us just simply to say what David said, the Lord is. But not only does he want to hear the providential relationship of the Lord is, but he also now wants to hear the personal relationship that the Lord is my shepherd. So we have to understand that Satan knows God. The witnesses knows God. Buddha knows God. ISIS know God. Extremists all over know God. But do you know God as being your shepherd? See, a personal relationship and understanding that you are a sheep and he is your shepherd, you begin to then walk in this concept of divine assurance. Listen carefully. Not divine insurance, but divine assurance. See, insurance is what people pay premiums into that insurance agencies will compensate us after the accident. Come on, talk back to me. I've never known an insurance person call you in January and say, we think you're going to have an accident in April, so we're going to send you a check in advance. No, the insurance company always respond after the accident. But when I have assurance that only can come from God, he's with me before, he's with me during, and he's with me after. And the difference is in insurance, I pay a premium. But as it relates to assurance, he pays it for me. I think somebody said it like this. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. See, my assurance has been paid by Jesus Christ. So look, when I need a shepherd, I have the assurance that when I call upon him, he is going to do the things that only he can do. He doesn't have to check your credit. He doesn't have to do background searches. All you need to say is, Lord, have mercy. When you do that, his ear is attended to his sheep. And he steps in with a mighty hand. And he picks you up right where you are. And he leads you to the place he wants you to be. But you got to have a personal relationship. I can tell what kind of relationship with God you have if you can show me your Facebook, Instagram, or your cell phone records. What kind of magazines you order. What you Google the most. Who you talk to the most will tell me who your real God is. But when you're really in the process of building a real relationship with God, there are times when you have to cut your phone off. There are times when you have to cut people off. There are times you have to delete old friends and get connected with God with a sincere prayer life, reading about His Word and asking Him daily to direct your steps. When He is your shepherd, those are the things that He will do for you. So not only do I need to understand a providential relationship and understanding who He is and that He is God and God all by Himself, but that doesn't mean anything to me if I don't have a personal relationship with Him. When I have a personal relationship with me, He knows my voice when I talk to Him. You know, I know I have a serious demeanor and all that good stuff, and but I like to crack jokes. I'm a jokester. I'm laughing all the time. Because when you do this, you got to laugh. You can't take life too serious. Amen? And so I laugh all the time. So if I'm traveling, if I'm away, I'll call my wife. I'll block my number, and I'll try to trick her. And I'll put my Barry White voice on, you know, and I'll be talking all low. And then after that, she'll say, boy, I quit playing. And then later on, I'll call her, and I'll put a towel over the phone, and I'll talk in a very high voice. And she'll say, boy, what you want? The reason why she knows my voice, whether it's low or whether it's high, is because she talked to me all the time. The reason why some of us don't know the voice of God is because we are not talking to Him. And when He talks to us, we have to ask the question, is it really God? I'm preaching a little bit better. Y'all saying amen? Is it really God? And see, when I have that personal relationship with Him, I don't have to question Him when I know it's God talking to me. The personal relationship. Let the church say personal. We have to have a relationship with God that is number one, even above your spouse and your parents. It is number one in our lives. That relationship with God. Because when you make God number one, then He will bring those things that are not as though they are into your life and make them a priority in your life. Listen, comma, if it's in His will. I can't get the job. When the last time you've been to church? I can't get the promotion. When the last time did you pray? See, the closer you get to God in my relationship with Him, you have to remember that God has the job. Oh, Lord, y'all gonna make me work. God has the promotion. God has the spouse. God has the house. And if I get closer to God, and then God can trust me in the relationship, He'll give me the promotion. He'll give me the job. He'll give me the house. He'll give me the spouse. But it's through the personal relationship. I pray over this next season of our life.
Come on.
That God allows us to develop a sincere personal relationship. One that honors Him in every way personally. I pray that you allow me to speak into your life what thus says the Lord. That you will not be angry with me, but you will say He's only saying what God has said because He only wants the best for me. When we get there, it is amazing how things will begin to expand in all of our lives. when we begin to hear the word of God and put the word of God into action into our lives, then we will become walking beacon lights where everybody will begin to see your light shining in you. The reason some people won't follow you to church because they don't see your light shining at home. And so they need to see you have a personal relationship, because you may be the thing that brings them in to a covenant relationship with God. Divine assurance tells me that when I understand him in this providential relationship and this personal relationship, my shepherd, then lastly and finally, I will enter in perpetual prosperity. He says it like this: I shall not want. Now, the problem with that is that for many people, they don't know the difference between wants and needs. Now, when he says, I shall not want, what he's simply saying, I've already covered the needs. Oh, Lord, I'm about to walk out the door. when he says, you shall not want, there is an assumption that the needs have already been covered. So what David is saying to us, when you connect with God as the shepherd, the first thing you will know when you're walking in divine assurance is that your needs are going to be met. Some of the stuff you crying over at night have nothing to do with your needs, but it's all about your wants. God is saying, come to me and let us prioritize your life so I can show you the wants, and then I'll take care of the needs. I'll give you the wants, and then I'll let you step into that next level of life where you're operating in grace and favor. Perpetual prosperity doesn't mean that you're going to have 5 or 6 homes. Prosperity, biblical prosperity, simply means this: having what you need when you need it. Y'all talk back to me. Having what you need when you need it. David says, when God is your shepherd, he will allow you to have exactly what you need when you needed it. For 30 years, God gave you exactly what you needed when you needed it. And year going into number 31, God has done it again. He has given you exactly what you need. I thought I'd get a better amen. When you needed it. Because he has committed himself to perpetual prosperity for his sheep, who says he is our shepherd. True life. All is well. God is in charge. God has opened the door. It is time. It's our opportunity to walk through. I talked to Dr. Golson on yesterday. I talked to him weekly. He encourages me all the time. And he always says, you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll be fine. Just do what God has called you to do, and you'll be fine. He ended our conversation on yesterday by saying, before we end, let's go to God in prayer. So that told me, in order for me to be fine, I got to always be connected to prayer. The season of prayer is not over, but it's going to continue in this season, because God has great work that he has for us to do. There has to be a divine assurance. When we may not be able to see or hear God's voice or see his hand, we have to be willing to trust his word. When God speaks, he is obligated to bring it to pass. God has spoken. And let true light say amen. Do you receive the word on today?